On the show today, we have CU Ledger's very own Daryl O'Donnell talking about a recent blog post entitled Top 3 Questions Credit Union CTOs Need Answered About Blockchain. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, fresh off Canada, celebrating Canada Day, is Mr. Daryl O'Donnell from CU Ledger. Daryl, how are you?
Doing fantastic, Mike. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
And you just wrote a very interesting blog topic, and it was entitled Top 3 Questions Credit Union CTOs Need Answered About Blockchain. And I thought this was like more timely than ever, because there's a lot of questions going on about blockchain and its connection or its separation from Bitcoin, but it's all part of that and the kind of the negative connotation with all that stuff. But I want to get to those questions that you posed in this blog post. And so let's address the first question, shall we? So I mean, and then the first question that you posed out there, is there a difference between blockchain and Bitcoin? So that seems to be one of the big questions bouncing around the industry these days.
Yeah, we were getting this a lot from our early investors, as well as the people we're working with.
Yeah.
The question would ask, they would even start off asking, is this Bitcoin? The answer for, is Bitcoin and blockchain the same thing is no, not at all.
Right.
I bring this back to blockchain is really very similar to, it's a database. Bitcoin is an application on a particular type of database.
Mm-hmm.
The Bitcoin blockchain itself is it's kind of like saying an Oracle database.
Right.
It's not really any different. But the key to me is the difference between a database and the blockchain, and why Bitcoin is unique is that as a database, blockchain allows you to trust the data even though you don't trust the participants who are in the network. So you don't have to trust everybody who's involved. You can trust the data.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the big difference between a blockchain and a database. And the Bitcoin blockchain, the reason it exists is that people can trust the underlying data that say that I haven't spent this more than once.
Right. Right.
Does that help?
Yep, indeed. Helps me, and I'm sure it helps out a lot of folks out there too, kind of clearing up the difference between the two. And so the second question that you pose is, like with other cloud-based solutions, do I need to run a node in order to use a blockchain technology?
Yeah, expand initially, the earlier days of CU Ledger, there was a requirement to run a node, but that's not there anymore.
Okay.
We don't need to run a node. There may be in the future a desire to run a node. Think about DNS, domain name service. There's a benefit to running your own DNS service inside your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's faster. You have a little bit more control.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you're reading information. I would also add, though, that nodes historically have been really, really heavyweight. Meaning, if you're running some particular blockchain, you're talking about a really big, big server type machine. What we're finding is, even as we merge or bring in other networks that are blockchain driven or not,
mm-hmm.
that those nodes are relatively lightweight. And that's what CU Ledger is kind of handling for everybody.
Okay.
Is taking care of coordinating those nodes. And in the future, sure, some people may run a node, but it'll be their choice and there'll be a good reason behind it.
Right. And just as a refresher, step back, can you define node real quickly for those who might be in the dark on that?
Yeah, typically a node is a server running against a particular blockchain.
Okay.
So it's actually, usually some of these machines are really, really heavyweight graphic processors. They've got massive RAM. They're real expensive to run. We're actually talking with one of our partners. I was just in Switzerland visiting with R3, who they have a R3 Corda, have a concept of running nodes. We're not sure if CU Ledger is going to run nodes for groups, but regardless, their nodes are becoming extremely lightweight.
Hmm.
Kind of like you spin up a node while you need it, turn it off when you don't.
Oh.
So if someone's running 10, 15 transactions a month, they may only incur a few minutes of uptime.
Gotcha.
That's all they need.
Okay. All right. And question number 3 here. Why is an SSI-based solution different than other ID products our credit union already has for our website or call center? And this is coming from a credit union.
Yeah. So I think the couple key things here, one of which that we like to explain is that when you're using other products, typically the other company owns the identity itself, that digital identity credential, either username and password or a key fob.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of renting it. In the case of C Ledger, really, the credit union is the issuer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the cards we put in our wallets, the debit cards.
Right.
They're the issuer of a credential, and a member holds that in their wallet.
Right.
There's no third-party vendor who's there. What that means, though, which is kind of unique, and Jeff Johnson from BCU captured this really, really well, is this allows us to use that same credential, whether it's something I hold in my digital wallet,
mm-hmm.
across all of my channels, whether that's the walk-in, log-in, or call-in.
Mm-hmm.
I can use the same piece everywhere. What we're finding right now is every channel has its own solution. If you want to do web banking, you'll end up with this dongle that you have to type a 6-digit code in. If you do call-in, well, there aren't any solutions right there other than something deep in your phone that's unique to that particular vendor,
yeah.
which ties the credit unions deeper and deeper into the vendors.
Gotcha. And this, for me, I mean, the last one, I think, is a game changer for a lot of folks out there, especially credit unions, because they can be the kind of the foundation for this new digital ID, right?
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's important to understand, like, one of the things, as I said, that I sound like I'm confronting vendors. A lot of the vendors, they never wanted this problem. It's just that's how the internet was made, that somebody had to put a username and password on these yep. protective measures, and yep. everybody did it slightly differently.
Right.
They didn't want to take over the username and password or the member's digital identity. They just had to protect their own systems and make their systems, you know, consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Putting that back in the hand of the credit union just makes a ton of sense. It puts the control where it really belongs, is that relationship between the credit union and the member.
Precisely. And it's just one more value add for that credit union as well. So good news all the way around, for sure. So, I mean, so compiling all these questions together, why are they so important for credit unions today? I know a lot of you mentioned in there that a lot of CTOs are very cynical out there because they're being bombarded by vendors saying, hey, yep. our digital ID is better than theirs and blah, blah, blah. So what's your take on that? Why are they so important today?
Well, I think it's when you look at marketing material, and I was talking to Pete Nolte on our team, mm-hmm. was a CIO for a major credit union, and he'd be hit in a month by 300 or 400 vendors who have the greatest thing since sliced yeah. bread. Well, I mean, everybody will tell a really important story. So how do you filter through that? How does a CTO or a CIO weed through this mass of information? The key thing I look at is does it allow them to either maintain, mm-hmm. or I would argue, reassert control over the identity that they're giving, identity credentials they're giving to their members? Because it's the loss of control that has caused a lot of credit unions, and most of them, to kind of get tied in a knot. Their systems are tied. Anything they change causes everything to shake too much.
Yep.
This allows the appropriate level of control. And the cynicism, especially when you get into blockchain, we used to get, if you look at a couple of the luminaries in this space on the outside, Chris Skinner and, mm-hmm. and Dave Birch.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have really dispelled blockchain. It's become a background technology. They've been very cynical, except in one area. Both of them are leaning into the digital identity use of blockchain. Everything last year before was because blockchain. That's why you need to hire me as a vendor, because blockchain. And that's not an answer.
Right.
It's if blockchain is involved, I want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's, as far as a database, we opened up talking about it's a database. It is probably the slowest, most expensive database you've ever seen. Why are you incurring those costs, especially of the time costs,
mm-hmm.
which are, you know, measured in seconds, but we only do 10 or 12 operations a year, so I really don't care. Why would you incur that? Because you need to have that trust being paramount.
Right. And so what can these CTOs, what can they do to kind of reduce their cynicism? Obviously, kind of going through the weeds and not being susceptible to the shiny red ball syndrome. What's your solution there?
I'd suggest they watch, as they do in many cases, is CTOs and CIOs can only sort of, I use the analogy that, you know, it's a jungle of technology out there, and we can only blaze so many trails at once. There are already CTOs and CIOs who are starting to blaze trails.
Mm-hmm,
I'd
mm-hmm.
watch where they're going,
yeah.
ask, hey, listen,
yeah.
can I just keep an eye on what you're doing? And if you're the type who wants to, when you see a jungle, pick up a machete and cut some trail, bring them along.
Yep.
That's what we like working with, is these people who aren't afraid to take a look at really different approaches. What we're finding, and certainly on the C Ledger side, is this identity play that we have with MyCUID. it simplified so much that we've done in such strange ways because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
That the CIOs and CTOs are saying, okay, cool, I have a bit of learning to do. Now that they've done the learning, they're like, okay, cool, I can do call-in. How do I do this on the web?
Mm-hmm.
How do I take this and use it in the branch? I want to be able to walk in and sign a member in without them having to fumble for their debit card, just use their phone because we always have our phones on.
Yep.
So it's neat to follow along with those people who are already, you know, blazing some trails.
I agree. And that's the beauty of our industry, because a lot of credit unions who are blazing those trails are open to sharing what they do best.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
That's
it's amazing to see.
Indeed. All right. I'm gonna wrap up with this. Can you expand on this statement, which was taken from your blog post? Blockchain technology is not a digital banking strategy pipe dream. Can you expand on that, sir?
Yeah. So last year before, we were hearing that blockchain is going to change and radically rewrite banking and rewrite healthcare and everything. It's not. It's those key technologies, the actual, when you change the people, process, and tools that you use,
mm-hmm.
some of them will be blockchain-based, but it's not going to radically replace the banking cores. It's a technology that has a place to be used. There was so much hype. You look at the Gartner hype cycle. I'm actually kind of happy we're not hearing blockchain as much recently.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Because it was really distracting.
Like, yeah.
That because blockchain story, what everybody talking about is like, well, why are you any different? Because blockchain. That's not an answer. So I look at it as it's going to change a bunch, especially in the credit union industry, where people, like you just mentioned, they're collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
They work together as opposed to, you know, staring at each other across the table and wanting to take each other out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how credit union CIOs and CTOs work.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's been too much hype. In 5-10 years, we may find that things are radically different, and part of that may be due to the fact that we have blockchain where we need it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to radically change things, you know, in a day.
Right, right. Well, like anything, it's a process. So, and over
yeah.
time, things change and evolve. So, good stuff. All right, sir. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Anything else to wrap up? Any final words of wisdom?
No, just thanks for checking out the blog article and raising these questions. This is awesome.
Good stuff. Yeah, it really raised my eyebrows, and I thought it was very timely. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about, it, sir. All right, Daryl.
Perfect.
Appreciate the time, always, and keep up the good work, all right?
And happy 4th of July.
All right, Thank you, sir.